Staying in Contact. I'm London Mitchell. This week, we visit again with Ted Long, who has developed another of his self-guided tours through our history. This time, the focus is on the Battle of Fallen Timbers. Ted, you refer to yourself as a history geek. Much of that geekiness, if I can call it that, focuses on Northwest Ohio. So, before we talk about your newest walk through our history, please tell us, what is it about the history of our corner of the country that you find so fascinating?
This is going to sound pretty strange, but I think Northwest Ohio is sometimes glossed over in Ohio history. And it's a shame because there are so many historical events that took place here, both militarily and from entertainment standpoint. You know, you think back to the Dempsey-Willard fight. Some say that that time when it happened, it was the biggest sporting event ever. And so what I often end up doing is just getting myself all worked up because it's like, I want to tell these stories so that people don't gloss over Northwest Ohio. And they really think about the impact that Toledo and Northwest Ohio has had on the state of Ohio and the United States and the world, really.
I don't think many of us realize that. I really don't.
And it's easy, I think, for folks to, when I first moved here, and now it's been almost 40 years ago, it was the people who grew up here who were the hardest on Toledo. And they would say, oh, there's nothing to do here. And yet, when you'd meet some other transplant, they'd tell you about how excited they were that they found Toledo, you know, 20-minute drive to wherever you want to go, plenty of, you know, wonderful restaurants and entertainment. I think that same thing goes along with the history. Oftentimes I'm giving tours to people who grew up here and I'm telling them stories and they're shaking their head and I can see the light bulb going on and I'll come over afterwards and they'll say, I grew up here and I never knew that.
Yeah. You know, skimming through your blog, and by the way, congratulations on being the most favored blog in the city.
Oh, thank you.
But it seems you find a story every time you turn your head around. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm lucky from that standpoint for a couple reasons. One, I've got a network of people, including you, Lon, who, you know, are out there. You love local history. I'll have a conversation and someone will mention something and then I write it down. And the next thing I'm going down a rabbit hole at Main Library or I'm on the internet, you know, on doing some kind of deep dive. And the stories are just, oftentimes, for instance, I just did one for Black History Month on a couple that developed a African-American resort up in Michigan. And the more I got into it, the more excited I was about the story. And the more I started to talk to other people who were into local history, and nobody had ever heard of this couple, the Arthurs. The gentleman was actually the founder of the first Black-owned financial institution in Ohio. No one had heard of him. It's sad. I'm kind of giggling because this is where I get geeky. I get excited that I'm going to grab a story and be able to tell it, and people are going to read it, and it's going to be the first time they've heard the story.
You don't call yourself a historian. You call yourself a history geek and a storyteller. And I think that's the uniqueness of it, to tell a good story. And people learn, and they don't realize they're learning at the same time they're hearing a very interesting story.
Well, and that's exactly it. I also tell people that I'm a curator. I'm taking information that was gleaned by someone else 50 years ago or 100 years ago, and I'm taking that along with another story somebody else wrote, and I'm just kind of piecing it all together, almost like someone would do if they were curating an exhibition at an art museum. But then they're also storytellers. You have to put the pictures in the right order. You have to write the program that surrounds it, and that's really what I like to do.
Let's talk about your self-directed driving tours, because I think this is a brand new way to really explore our local history. I know you've done one about can we call it the gangster history of Toledo?
Yep, yeah. The Unholy Toledo Tour, and that's probably one of the more popular ones. That's about a two and a half hour driving tour that you just hop in your car and I direct you, and I'm using the GPS technology on the app. It's called Voice Map, is the app that you download for free. And I know exactly where you're at. I'll say, slow down here, pull over. Hey, to your right is such and such, and here's what happened on such and such date. And it's just a really cool way for me to tell the story, knowing that, people are sitting in a car, or I also do walking tours. They're having a walk down a street and they're learning about the environment they're surrounded in.
And your newest one takes us along the Maumee River.
Yeah, this is one that I've really looked forward to doing for a number of years. It's the Battle of Fallen Timbers. And it's interesting you mentioned the river, because Art Weber and I have been working on a book on the history of the Maumee now for quite a while, soon to be published. And Art has always gets excited when we get near Fallen Timbers, and he tells the story of how the volunteers worked with Dr. Pratt, the team from Heidelberg, who were doing the digging and the sifting, and discovered that the battlefield was actually on the other side of 24. And so I always wanted to tell the story of Fallen Timbers, but I also wanted to incorporate that incredible story of the 1990s, where Dr. Richard Pratt, took these volunteers and a couple of local volunteer groups and really saved the battlefield, because it was really about to be part of a probably a mall development. So it's an interesting twist of telling the story of, 1794, but intermixing with that the story of the 20th century and how the battlefield was rediscovered.
If we look back at the history of Fallen Timbers, this was a big Indian battle. Some say it really opened up our part of the country for more settlements. Is that a fair way to look at it?
It is a fair way. And, some will tell you it's one of the most important battles and take place in the American landscape. And some say it's also the last battle of the American Revolution. It was a battle to, I think, establish America's expansionist program to the West. But it was also a battle to kind of settle the final score of the American Revolution and eject the British from our territories. And that's why I tell people, when you talk about Fallen Timbers, you're really talking about, Fallen Timbers, Fort Miamis, and all kinds of, comes together as part of a bigger story.
I hadn't thought about the British involvement. Tell us more about that.
Well, the British, as part of the story, is the British were quietly not involved, but they had built Fort Miamis in preparation for where they thought Wayne was probably, once he worked his troops up here from Cincinnati, would probably turn and head for Canada. And they were going to build a fort and kind of be prepared for that. And then the story goes, the Native Americans assumed that by building that fort, the British were saying, we'll help you in your battle to expel the white settlers. And then when the battle takes place, the British don't participate, although some Canadians do. And then Native Americans at the end of the battle retreat towards Fort Miamis, where the gates were locked and they weren't allowed to come in. And that kind of settled, their relationship for some time going forward. Wayne was incensed when, after the battle, he had a chance to come face to face with Fort Miamis and see just what the British had built on American territory. And he wanted to do all kinds of things, but he knew he shouldn't, and he didn't want to start anything more than what he had already been involved in. But he did, based on what he saw, go back to what we call today Defiance and restructured Fort Defiance as a bigger, more stout fort based on what he saw the British had put in place at Fort Miamis.
How do people get plugged into your tours?
Well, the easiest way is to go out to my website, which is holytoledohistory.com, and click on the tours menu item at the top, and you'll see more than a dozen tours and the explanations of how they work, and then a link where you can go directly to VoiceMap to download the tour. So it sounds complicated. It's not. VoiceMap is the app that you use on either your Droid or iPhone. You download it from either the Google Store or the Apple Store for free. And once you have it, you put in a you have to register. You put in an email address and a password. It'll then go up to the satellite and come back down and say, okay, you're in Toledo. Here are the different tours that are available in Toledo. Which ones would you like to do? And you select the tours, and the tours run from $3.99 up to, I think, $12. And once you buy a tour, it's like a book. You own it. It's stored on VoiceMap. You can listen to it at any time, share it with somebody. And essentially, it is a kind of a moving podcast. You're either driving or walking, and I'm describing historically what's happened in the area you're in, and I'm also giving you directions on where to go. So in the case of Fallen Timbers, it's a mile and a half walk around the Northwest Territory Trail that Metro Parks has put in place. And it's a beautiful trail if you've never done it. It goes through the woods, through the ravine. That's a large part of the Fallen Timbers story. And then inside this loop are about 17 stations that the Metro Parks put in that have signage explaining what's going on and what happened in the battle. One of the things I made sure I did in the tour is I'm not trying to recreate that. I'm supplementing the information you're going to read at these stations with further information and maybe deeper dives into the history that's involved in the battle.
And again, the website address is holytoledohistory.com.
That's correct.
What's coming down the pike for Ted Long?
Well, I've been kind of being patient, I'll put it that way. I've been working with the University of Toledo Press now for over a year on a book called The Toledo Papers. It was due out a while back, and due to other issues, it didn't come out. I'm now hoping it's going to be coming out soon, and I'm excited about that book. It's a compilation of stories and wrapped around either letters or ephemera that are Toledo-related, and they go back as far as 200 years. And it was just a lot of fun to write it. Right now I'm doing speaking engagements, and it's fun. The audience is very into it. When I get into the stories, they seem to really enjoy the backstories to these letters and ephemera.
I'm looking forward to reading it. As I did the the 100 things to do in Toledo before you die.
Yeah, that was still very popular. I'm surprised. I shouldn't say that, but that book's came out in, I think, 21, and still does very, very well.
Ted Long. Ted, thanks for being with us, and please keep telling us those stories about Northwest Ohio. Again, Ted's website is holytoledohistory.com.
Staying in contact with London Mitchell. These weekly visits focus on the culture and history of Northwest Ohio, as well as efforts underway to improve the quality of life in our communities. Previous programs are available on Amazon Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbeam, and londonmitchell.news.
Please join us again next week as we continue staying in contact.